In the middle of the journey of my life, I found myself in a dark wood where the way was lost. That's the opening sentence of Dante's Divine Comedy. And what it's describing, well, it's no laughing matter, and possibly familiar to you, a feeling that you've somehow gone astray and nothing's familiar or makes sense to you anymore, and the life you've cherished is lost. It's also the quote that Brent Williams uses to open his book, a graphic novel that charts his way into and out of depression, a deep depression that set in for him in the middle of the journey of his life in his 40s. The book is called Out of the Woods. So now, Brent, until you were well into your 40s, you were living what sounds like a successful, fulfilling life, a lawyer in New Zealand with a family. What was that life in Wellington like and what happened?
Well, it was very busy. I chose at an early age to work in a field of law that I was passionate about, community law. I moved from university to set up the Community Law Centre there. Inspired by many community law centres that were starting here in Australia. And I threw myself into work to help vulnerable people, street kids, tenants, women suffering domestic violence, children suffering abuse and neglect. And that was my life passion. And I had my own children. I had four kids myself and lived a very busy life. And then in my late 40s, it all changed.
When you say that depression took away all the pleasures in your life, that is such, well, it's such a simple but devastatingly stark statement to make, I think. Tell me about it.
Well, it does more than that. It actually takes away your will to live. I guess your pleasures are at one level, but at a deeper level, you actually stop seeing any reason to live. And that's the danger of depression that leads to the obvious conclusion in your depressed mind that you need to exit life, which is very sad, but a strong reality of depression.
Well, if you look back, Brent, what was the moment that you realised you weren't actually as mentally healthy as you'd always thought yourself to be?
I was making a resource about child abuse, and I had pushed a photographer really hard to capture an image of a child hiding under a bed as their parents were in a bitter argument. And I had no awareness that scene that I was creating was my own childhood. Oh. And when I took this resource to a reviewer, a professional person to review, she just stopped and looked up at me and she said, "Brent, what's brought you to this area?" And I just broke down. I had no awareness that all these years I'd actually been living out my own childhood, the demons from my parenting, my father in particular, and I had thrown myself into work and my passion to help others with no awareness of really my own vulnerabilities, and it came crashing down on me in my late 40s. And from then on, I was pretty paralysed to do a lot.
So you hit this kind of insurmountable wall, really, of depression and anxiety. What did you do? I mean, what happened in your life?
Well, I was totally, I just used the tools that I knew, which were to be strong, to help, I had no tools to help myself, because all my life I'd been helping others. I had been the strong one. I wasn't the one to show any vulnerability. And so therefore, when it was happening to me, I was just totally, first in denial, confusion, anger, frustration. Surely if I tried hard enough, I could overcome this. That's what I believed. But depression is very strong, and it was stronger than me. And it needed me to really, which was a slow journey, to accept that I had this illness, to stop running from it, to stop finding other people that were, or professionals or whoever, therapists who would tell me that I had some other illness and not depression. It was a long process of many years before I faced it. When I faced it and got help, then I started the journey of healing and getting better.
But along the way, you left your family? You left everything that had anchored you?
I even left New Zealand. I had to run away to the furthest possible place and hide. I did a lot of hiding, a number of levels from depression, facing up to admit that I had this illness.
Now, along the way, or somewhere along the way, you started keeping a journal, I think. Why did you turn to writing?
Well, I wasn't a writer, but somehow I, in my isolated state, I found writing was incredibly comforting. I was able to express my thoughts, and I was quite amazed sometimes it would just pour out of me onto the page. And it helped me, it gave me some insight to what was going on. I was able to observe a little bit through my writing how bad I was and how much help I needed.
Did it mean you could sort of, in some way, stand outside of yourself?
Absolutely. And I wrote in metaphors and images. I wrote about what this thing looked like and felt like, because depression's very hard to, you know, I gave it shape. And I think by seeing it, describing it, and I remember sometimes just not being able to get out of bed in the morning, but I'd look over and I would see my journal and the pen just a few feet away on a sideboard, and I would think, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm just going to open that and I'm just going to write how I feel right now. And it was really hard, but it got me out of bed. And then I would write, and after a couple of pages I'd think, wow, I feel a little bit stronger. I can now get dressed, I can get up, I can get out, I can face the world. So in a way it started that motivation, which was so important, and did, yes, it gave me some insight and some perspective on what I was going through.
And at what point did you realise that the journal you were keeping had the makings of this graphic novel that you've created out of the woods?
Many, many journals later. It was a long time, because I was just writing for myself. I was writing to help myself. And it was quite a bit later that I thought that it could help others. And when I was depressed, I couldn't read. I remember that, because I, you know, reading was part of my profession. I just couldn't focus on words. I couldn't finish a line, let alone a sentence. I remembered that vividly.
And is that why you chose the form of a graphic novel?
Yes. Plus, what made me realise that I was depressed was not hearing doctors and psychiatrists' advice, who clearly were saying, you are depressed, you need to do this. I didn't take that on board. What I actually related to were other people's stories. I started reading personal stories. It was a woman journalist from the UK. And I just remember feeling so connected to her story. So I knew it had to be visual to get through to people emotionally and in a very simple way. And I knew it had to be personal, not a traditional self-help book with lots of good tips and strategies. It had to just be about my journey, my life.
This is Life Matters. I'm Amanda Smith with Brent Williams. He's a lawyer turned author who's created a graphic novel about his depression and anxiety called Out of the Woods. Now, you wrote the text, Brett, but you didn't do the illustrations. How did you find someone to illustrate this story that's so personal for you, but where the illustrations are so key to the way it communicates to other people?
That was quite a process in itself. I had many people submitting work. I had a lot of options, but none of them felt right. And I had this very clear idea that this had to very much reflect my emotional journey. I didn't want it to be too comic-y, but also I didn't want it to be just illustrations which were more photographic. I knew it had to be somewhere in between that really captured the emotion. And I came across this artist on a website, and he absolutely struck me with the power of his illustrations. It just captured what I want. I wrote to him, and he wrote back saying, thank you, but I'm busy finishing off RoboCop's Last Stand and teaching at a university. I'm too busy. But I thought, yes, he speaks English. Great.
Because this guy is in Turkey.
He's in Turkey.
He's Turkish.
And so,
what's his name?
Korkut Ozdekin. Mm-hmm. And so I sent him the script, and no reply for a few weeks. And then I got an email saying, I've got some unfinished business. I want to work on your book. And then we started the most beautiful journey together. It was 3.5 years of working very closely through Skype and swapping emails and conversations and illustrations and photographs. And we slowly, panel by panel, created this book. So it's very much his journey as well, in many ways.
Why do you think he changed his mind and wanted to do it with you?
Because he read the script and it meant something to him. It touched his own depression and his own struggles. And he perhaps didn't choose to face those, but he did. And it was at times a struggle for him. But by the end of it, he was very glad that he had done it. And he's gone through some very tough times in his country. They've had a coup. ISIS bombings, so all sorts of personal issues as well. And he's found the book extremely helpful for his own personal struggles. So it's been a very satisfying journey in the making of it, which has been lovely.
And what's been the reaction so far to from other readers?
It's been wonderful.
Who is reading it, I suppose?
It's been read by professionals who are interested, people who have friends and loved ones who are depressed, and people who are depressed. So it's got these three key audiences, and everyone is responding very favourably to it. For one reason or another, people are writing to me and saying, "This is you've written my story." So that's very powerful. Not quite what I expected. I was just writing it to help myself. And now in the publishing of it, I seem to be helping others, and it's very satisfying.
Well, you've said that along the way of your own depression, shame prevented you from seeking help for a time. That, I suspect, is a common experience, particularly among men, I think, and I think men your age, middle-aged men. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think in my case, I was so used to being the strong one. You know, I was the father. I was this. I protected so many people in my family: my mum, my children, my partner, my clients. So when I became vulnerable myself, I just had no emotional language to express that I was vulnerable, that I needed help. I couldn't sort of see it or cope with it or understand it. It was very strange. So, and depression carries with it so much internal shame. It makes you feel hopeless, worthless, useless. It's all these less words. And you add those up, that brings huge shame. You know, somebody who's been proud of what they've done and achieved in life, and suddenly you can't do these things. You have this shame, even if it's not coming externally. I know there is stigma around mental illness for sure, but I think in depression you create a lot of it yourself.
Well, I commend you on this book and I wish you all the best. Brent Williams is a New Zealand lawyer turned author. His graphic novel is called Out of the Woods, and in it he shares his story of battling with and overcoming depression and anxiety. Brent, thank you for joining us here in Life Matters.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.